Welcome to Rewatchable number 63 for Pushing Daisies. Today we're discussing episode 13, the last episode of Pushing Daisies that there has ever been, I guess. And that one is called Kerplunk. I'm Danielle, and with me today is Ariana, Colleen, and Kyle. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, hello. We're at the end. So that's really sad. I feel like this has gone really, really fast. Especially in comparison to Veronica Mars, which lasted forever, but also felt like it went really fast. So since this one didn't last forever, it was like even faster, if that makes sense.
Yes, I get you.
It is currently morning and I'm a little tired, so this is going to be fun. So before we jump into this final episode, I just want to remind you that if you ever want to get in contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. That email is really good for if you want to discuss spoilery things about any of the shows that we do, especially ones that we're about to start. You can also tweet us at re_watchable. You can tweet us about any show that we've covered so far or that we are going to cover. I know I get a lot of Veronica Mars every once in a while. We get some Firefly. So do tweet us. And you can also comment on this post on hypeable.com, where we often look for comments because we like talking to you. So, episode 13, Kerplunk. Kyle, would you like to read that synopsis, please?
Yes, I will. In this series finale, endings are where we begin as darling mermaid darlings come out of retirement for good when a formal rival ends up eaten by a great white named Bubba. The crew goes undercover to keep Lillian and Vivian Charles safe and catch Coral's himbo, okay, but Chuck has to stay back at the pie hole to protect Ned's secret. In the end, we finally get to see what we've been waiting for, Olive moving on from Ned and moving on up to her own macaroni girl with Randy Man, Emerson's daughter reconnecting with him through the pop-up book, and Ned putting away his ego so Chuck could finally show off her not-deadness to her aunts. I don't agree with that statement. I don't like that I read it. But okay.
That's what he's... Okay, you're talking about the Ned part, right?
Yes.
That's what he said. He said that he was going to stop being selfish and let her see her aunts, which I feel like is what we've been saying this whole series. Like, why can't she see her aunts? Why? It made no sense. So I'm really happy. Yeah. It made me really sad. I wanted to see season 3, which I think would have been even better.
Especially with more people in the know.
Yeah, with the ants and the shenanigans, it would have been great.
Could you imagine, like, Lily, or I think, like, Lillian with her shotgun, just, like, helping them solve cases?
Yes.
That would be great. I would enjoy that really very much so. So the first thing that we should talk about before we talk about tying up loose ends in depth is the mystery of the week. Because it was really interesting, I thought, because it centered around Lily and Vivian, which is nice to see. It was nice to see more of them. And I feel like the Aquacade was kind of fantastical. That makes sense at all. Like, it was sort of out of the ordinary. It wasn't a normal, like, SeaWorld type show. It just had, like, this air around it that I really liked.
Yeah.
I like how it looked like an arcade in water.
It's really great because this is the episode that just reminds me of Pushing Daisies. Like, when it stopped airing and people were like, oh no, I love Pushing Daisies. Like, this is the episode that kind of like makes Pushing Daisies for me. Like, it has everything, you know, like has Ned and Chuck and swimming. And like, I thought there was a lot more swimming in this season than there was. And I guess this is the episode that made me think that. So, but like, I loved it and I loved the mystery. And I just love the fact that it just started off with like a normal, like, you know, swimming group and then blah, nope. Death.
There's always death.
Now, I don't know if it was because, I don't know, like, because I knew this was the end and I wanted more from it, but I never, this mystery, I don't really like it. Like, I love the Aquacade, and I love that it centers around Lily and Vivian, but I for some reason find the mystery itself to be just sort of dumb. The himbo annoyed me the whole time. So I just, like, I don't know. It frustrates me, but I don't know if it's just because it's the end and I just want the last mystery to be perfect and amazing. And I was just sort of underwhelmed by the final episode.
I do think that compared to other episodes this season where it was a little harder to figure out who did it, in this one it seemed pretty, like, it was pretty clear, I think, from the beginning that it was her husband.
Yeah, I had a few, I don't remember exactly what I did it at, but I had a few eye roll moments during this episode, probably because it was slightly a lesser mystery for the last episode, but I also enjoyed it at the same time. I don't know how that happened.
I want to go to the Aquacade. I want that to be real.
Yes, I would enjoy that. I would be really happy with that.
I didn't really mind, though, that the mystery wasn't very good, because I felt like there was so much character development in this episode. Like, they really tried, I think, to pack in a lot of character development, especially ones that, and it feel like it made a lot of things make more sense. Like, with the ants, their relationship makes so much more sense now, just by saying that Vivian had a, like, bad heart as a kid.
And that Lily had to do everything for her and, like, pick her over herself.
Right.
I feel like if we would have had that earlier, everything would have made more sense. Like, why are they living at home? Why are
they
home?
It's a shame. It's a real shame that they made that, like, the season two finale instead of, like season one, like, opener or, like, something, you know? Because it would have brought them so much more depth. And that's I feel like that was a common complaint throughout the season. I don't know which lady specifically, but, like, I know that, some of you guys weren't a fan of, like, the character development, and so I feel like if they developed that way earlier on in the season, you might have been like, oh, okay, I like this.
Yeah, because it's a really great character aspect, and I like it a lot. So, I would have liked that.
And since we're talking about...
Oh, yep.
Oh, no, I was kind of going to move on to, well, I was just going to say, like, as far as character development goes, I feel like we've seen so much more the back half of season two, or even starting from the nunnery episode. Like, we've gotten to find out about Olive and why she's so Olive and Emerson. And I just think that it's made them to such better fleshed out characters and therefore made the mysteries seem better because their interactions make more sense together.
And that's why it's such a shame that, like, it was the last half of the last season. Like, if it had gone on, we would have gotten so much more of the fleshed out characters.
It's so sad.
Yeah, that's like the reason that, like, people were like, so no, I want more Pushing Daisies, because it's like, well, because it finally got really good. Like, it wasn't just okay, silly and stuff. Yeah. It got almost kind of deep, almost.
It was.
I think it got deep in the end.
Mm-hmm. I think
they left us with so many teases. Just to leave us wanting.
Maybe they'll solve it in the Pushing Daisies musical revival. Hey.
That would be great if, like, at halftime she reveals herself to her aunts, so then, like, the back half we get to watch her interacting with them.
That would be so awesome.
I think that would be a good idea to have, like, the first half be a refresher or something for someone who didn't see it, and then the back half be something new. I like the idea of a continuation of the show in, like, a theater aspect. I'm not sure how on board I am with a musical, but I don't know.
But Kristen Chenoweth could sing.
But every time she sings in the show, I kind of just zone out and wait for it to be.
I'm sorry, you're wrong.
No, because she's talented and I love her. It just doesn't fit for me. That's the thing. It doesn't fit for me.
I think Kristen Chenoweth singing fits for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. Okay.
She could sing on Law and Order and it would be fine.
She can I could be like boarding a plane and she could be singing while like unpacking her stuff and I'd be like, okay, let's go. Like, you go. Do what you do, girl.
Let's move to our second point here. We talked about how they got character development, but let's go deeper into that whole relationship that's going on with Lily and Vivian. Did you like that sort of twist on them? Do you think it fits with how they've been acting? And I guess as a third question to that, should Lily have always put Vivian before herself? Or should she had stopped at a certain point?
I think it certainly went to an extreme, but I think she spent so much of her life putting Vivian before herself, and then the one time she was sort of selfish and had her fling with Charles, it blew up in her face, and I think she sort of made a decision from there, like, that she would do everything for Vivian and just stand behind Vivian the whole time and just wallow in her guilt.
Yeah, it seemed like she was punishing herself for the last 30 years.
Definitely.
It was just super sad.
It is sad.
It's sad that is, I never thought of it that way, but that is the one thing that she tried to do selfishly and then it blew up.
Well, it sucks that the one selfish thing she felt like doing was also like, it's just, you know, like a shitty thing to do.
Yeah,
that's true. That's very true.
That's totally on her. Like if it was like, oh, I'm going to make myself a pie and I'm not going to give Vivian, or I'm not going to give her any, and then fine. But
yeah, keep your pie.
But Charles was a master manipulator. We've seen.
An emotional manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also just really sneaky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad that we don't know about him,
that's,
I guess.
True.
But I am glad that they cleared up the biggest, like, loose end with the ants. But I still wanted to know more about him.
Yeah.
I think I'm more sad about Ned's dad.
Yeah, yeah. The two of them, because they apparently work together.
Ned's dad just lurking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Creeper.
Yep.
Goodness.
Oh, I had a question. Why are they called Lily and Vivian Charles if it was established that they're not his sisters? Like, they're not related to them in any way. So why are they also Charles?
Did they maybe adopt the name to keep up the ruse that they were related to him?
Yeah, I never really thought about it, to be honest. I didn't really notice that was weird.
Yeah. Because it sounds so nice, like Lily and Vivian Charles. It sounds classy and like it fits. But yeah, you're right. I don't know.
It is weird. It's like they couldn't think of another last name, and they're like, Charles. Yeah, Charles works.
Well, I assumed that initially that they were his sisters. Probably, like, the writers made her his sisters, and then towards the end they were like, hey, but what if instead she's her mother? But then they had already named them Charles, so...
Glad they didn't decide to keep her as a sister and also Chuck's mother. That would have been a little messed up.
Oh,
yeah, thank goodness.
A little too dark.
A little bit. That would be not good. Yeah. All right, so since we're talking about the ants, how do we feel about the way that they tied up that loose end? Besides, like, celebratory and throwing a party that they finally know. Because that was nice.
I hate their fight. I hate when they fight.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad.
And I hate that that's like their last big scene is they're fighting with each other. Oh, it breaks my heart. I hate it.
I love it. It's great. I love it. I love when they fight just because like I like tension and like they have really good tension between them when they're like dislike each other and it's just like It's like a popcorn eating scene. I'm just like, ooh. Yeah. Who's gonna get the shit beat out of them now?
Ooh. You just sit there popping it in your mouth like, oh my god, this is great.
Yeah, this gonna be good.
Their pain is fascinating.
Yes.
It was so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know, whose side were you guys on? Because I feel like I was kind of on Lily's side, even though she was in the wrong. Because she had been making up for it for 30 years. Like, she gave up her child to make Vivian happy.
Yeah,
I think we were more, or I think I was more sympathetic to Lily just because we've gotten, out of the two, we've gotten more about her,
right.
If you think about it. So I think because we see her as a little bit more well-rounded, like, I was on her side because we did see her trying to atone for the things. But I also did really like to see Vivian asserting herself.
Exactly, yeah, I agree.
Because when she does, she does.
Yeah.
I just, towards the end, could not stand her voice. I just wanted her to stop talking. Like,
that
wispy voice.
Oh, I love that wispy voice. It's like, it's so precious. It's like she's a bug that you can just easily squish. And it's just like...
Exactly. You can't take her seriously.
It's like this little tiny bug trying to talk to you as your foot is coming down. So you're like, no, like, don't do it. Oh. I don't know why that's the analogy that came to my head, but okay.
Because you like squishing nice little bugs, Kyle.
I do. I have a fun time flicking them off my screen door when they, like, are gigantic and they decide to, like, oh, it's so fun because then you feel them hit the floor and it's like, anyway, enough about my murderous bug tendencies.
I'm with you on that. I don't try to murder them, but I do flick them off my screen. So, yes, the fight was awful. When we see the reveal, like, that she's alive, like, the last thing that she says, or Chuck says, is, I'm alive, and we don't see anything past that, I was kind of okay with that. I thought that was a good stopping point. Did anybody want anything else?
Like, no, I agree.
Yeah, it sort of makes me wish, like, oh, I would love to see season 3 and, like, where it goes from here, but for that having to be the end, I do think it was perfect.
Yeah, I agree. It's not how I ever pictured them doing it. Like, I don't think it makes the most sense logically. Like, I think you're going to give them a heart attack to just be like,
like, if that was the concern, yeah, let's just ring the doorbell and have her show up there. Not ease them into it at all.
Yeah, but I understand that because it was the series finale. That makes the most sense, and it made it for a satisfying conclusion that way.
Although, I have to say, I've always wondered, when they open the door and Ned and Chuck are there, I always thought it looks like he's in a suit. She's got flowers. Like, it looks like they're getting married. It always looked that way to me. And I don't know if that was, like, a purposeful choice or if anyone else thought it looked that way. But I remember thinking that in the beginning, and I thought it again. And I wonder if that was, like, I don't know, something they were trying to distantly imply that this is something that will happen eventually. I don't know.
I could see that now that you said that, because they did look fancy.
Yeah.
And there was, like, this light behind them. They were backlit a lot.
Yeah, they were.
That's interesting. I like that.
Like, now that we have two witnesses, let's run off to City Hall and get married.
Yeah.
But like, would they even be able to, since she's supposed to be dead?
They still... Oh, yeah, she's still legally dead.
Yeah. That would be tricky to get around.
Details, you know.
They could go have, like, a tribal wedding or something.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like it would be weird if they pulled out the plastic in front of everyone and they decided to kiss.
Mm-hmm. How would they put the rings on each other, too? Right? They'd have to, like, have a really good...
Through gloves.
Oh.
You know she'd wear some fancy, like, elbow-length gloves to her own wedding.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's true. She probably would. And I'd probably be jealous of her outfit.
Probably. I would too.
It's fine. Let's see. Let's talk about Olive's ending, since we're talking about kind of love and stuff. I was upset when Randy Mann wasn't there during the episode, that like, oh, yeah, he's not around, and oh, Emerson's lady friend wasn't around, whose name I always forget. And I was like, oh, well, that's sad. And then he showed up at the end, and I thought it was sort of cute. Kyle, why did you not like it as much?
I don't like the name for their business.
The Intrepid Cow?
The Intrepid Cow. No. I also don't like that they're making a mac and cheese place. Just no. Like,
I love that they're making a mac and cheese place.
I would go.
The udders are kind of freaking me out a little bit, but otherwise it sounded okay.
I wanted her to open like another like dessert place, like something like an ice cream parlor. I wanted her to like open something that goes really well with pie.
Yes, so then they could have apple pie a la mode.
Yes, exactly.
Dang. And they could be in that store.
Be the dinner, and then the pie can be the dessert.
Yes, but like it's just not as good.
They won't be competing for customers for the dessert crowd.
Yeah, because we learned what happened last time when they competed for customers.
Nothing good.
Yeah, we don't want anybody ending up in some sort of vat or taffy thing, whatever that was.
Like, which happens a lot more frequently than you'd think, but yeah.
I was slightly disappointed that Olive left the pie hole, though. Like, I never thought of her leaving the pie hole, because it seems like a good fit.
That made me sad, the idea of her not being there.
Yeah.
I was glad that she did, because I feel like that was the break she needed from Ned to get away from the Ned and Chuck situation, because I feel like if she had still stayed there, even though she was with Randy, it would have been, she still would have been sucked into the situation. As much as she, you know, would claim to be over it, I feel like it would still bother her.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just still sad a little bit. Okay. Any final words about Olive, where she's been, or Randy Mann, whose name I still love?
I think it was a really nice ending for her, is how we've talked about her, like, mooning over Ned for so long. Mm-hmm. It was a good series finale for her to move on to Randy Mann and move on up to her mac and cheese place. It's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's also a really good way to, like, if they can't get Kristen Chenoweth back for some reason, they don't have to, like, replace the actress. They could be like, oh, no, Olive's, like, done. Like, she's with them.
She does mac and cheese now.
Yeah.
She's moved on.
Exactly.
Question that just kind of occurred to me. We never saw Olive finding out about Chuck. Is this something that we happened? Is this something that we think they just wanted to ignore completely to get her out of that world? Because they are friends, and I don't know.
Well, to find out about Chuck, she'd have to find out about Ned, and...
Well, okay, there's that point where, like, Chuck straight up told her exactly what happened. She's like, if you don't want to tell me, it's fine.
Yeah.
So it's, like, totally her fault that she doesn't know at this point. Yeah. She got it laid out on the table for her.
No, eventually. Like, I feel like in the imaginary future, I imagine that she finds out shortly after the aunts. Because if she's going to exist in their world at all, and everybody else knows at this point, she'll have to know.
Yeah, and in the way that Chuck told Olive, I probably wouldn't have believed her either. So I don't think it's necessarily Olive's fault, but I do. But she was told.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought of that, and I thought that was interesting, that, like, told the aunts, but they didn't tell the other part of their, I guess, quartet of mystery solvers. And speaking of the mystery solvers, let's talk about Emerson. We get a good ending for him and his daughter, even though I feel like his daughter already knew where to find him without the book at that point, but details. But we don't get Emerson and his lady friend. So I guess that's kind of a...
Simone, right?
He don't need no lady friend.
He is a strong,
independent black man. Anyway.
I'm glad we got... I would rather have closure on the situation with him and his daughter than him and Simone.
I thought we had closure on Simone, though. He's still with her.
That's true.
And she was super helpful in the last episode.
She was.
She was pretty badass.
She was always pretty badass.
Yeah, even when we questioned her motives, or at least when I questioned her motives. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that we only got the silhouette, too, of Emerson's daughter, which was very noir-looking, obviously, because she, like, you're looking at her with all the lights through the door.
And the whole, like, detective thing, like, the whole setting always had the makings of a noir situation,
Definitely.
So that was perfect.
Yeah, so I was happy for him, and he, I think we got some of the best sleuthing or, like, sassy lines from him during the mystery, so I was happy about that, too.
He was my favorite character, like, throughout, like, the series, just in general. Just from, like, the very first episode. Like, bitch, I was in proximity. Like, I just love it.
He's been consistently great all the way through.
Yes.
Exactly, yes.
Never annoying.
Like, the series continued with to see his daughter, because I feel like his daughter, like, I feel like I want to see his daughter solve crimes with them, because I feel like his daughter would be just as amazing at it.
Like a mini sassy Emerson.
Yes.
She'd be so cute.
I would like that a lot. That would be really cute. And I could see her sassing Ned, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of threw this one in here, but the last person in our quartet here is Ned. And do we get a satisfying ending for Ned as a person, or does, like, his ending just revolve around Chuck? Because the last revelation he gets is that he was being selfish and that he should let Chuck, like, see her aunts and meet with them. But is that more about her, or is that about him?
I think that's totally about her. And I feel like his character really didn't get enough of, like, a rounded up ending either. I feel like...
I think that's part of...
I'm not sure, like, what would we have wanted to see as an ending for him?
Well, because his ending is much more series relevant than it is season relevant, and so because this is just a season finale, we aren't going to be really completely satisfied with Ned, because there's still so many things that we want to see happen with Ned, like seeing him meet his father and getting to, like, figure out why he has this whole power in the first place and all of that jazz. So, like, it'd be hard to get a satisfying ending for Ned if it wasn't the series finale.
Go. You sound very passionate, Colleen.
Oh, with my hatred. I just hate that it's only, like, 5 minutes. Like, everybody's storyline's wrapped up in 5 minutes tacked on to the end of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it. Like, I wish that the show and the characters could have gotten the ending that they deserved. Like, we could have found out everything that we wanted, and I hate, and it's not the only show that it's happened with, but it's just, I hate it. Like, I want to feel more satisfied with how, even though I'm happy with how things ended up, it's just like, it's like, bam, 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 this happened. Even though I love the visual of, like, traveling around Kurdakur and, like, going down in the sewers and following the ants on their tour, like, that was really cool, but as far as the actual 5-minute wrap up, it just breaks my heart.
It did feel tacked on, and I feel like in this aspect, like, they could have foregone a mystery in general. Like, they could have just not done it and done
I agree
other things to give them more than like a 5-minute wrap up each.
This is like the product of like having to deal with the writer's strike too. It suffered more so than it would have had they not had to deal with that. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like just as an excuse that worked out pretty well. Like if you think about it compared to How I Met Your Mother, like How I Met Your Mother also like is ending, like also ended things like bam, bam, bam in the matter of like seconds, like an entire season's worth of a plot line ended in like two words. And so I feel like in comparison to that, where they actually planned everything out and they intentionally did that to this show, where like, okay, they didn't have as much time as they needed and or as many resources, I'm more willing to forgive like
the happenstance
endings.
Yeah.
They were a victim of just terrible timing. And I understand they made the best of what they, you know, had to work with.
It just
sucks.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ariana.
In defense of this episode, which I know I'm not usually the one to defend, pushing Tacey's, but I really think, I feel like this episode was the culmination of a lot of season and series themes within the mystery. That's why I, even though the mystery was kind of boring and who did it, I thought that it was important because it did bring up so much stuff about Lily and Vivian, and it made them feel really important in a way that they hadn't felt before. And it made them feel really important as far as in Chuck's life. And also I think that it really brought out a lot of stuff in Ned, because I feel like his theme since the beginning has been like fear and how that's kept him from really growing. And I think that in the past few episodes, we saw him learn to stop being afraid of his superpower and now to stop being afraid of, I guess, showing his superpower to other people, like, into trusting other people, like letting Lily and Vivian know.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think that that'll be important for when his dad comes back and stuff, if ever that were to happen.
Yeah. I think I agree that his has been kind of a long, maybe slow burn of characterization, I guess, if we're going to go that way. I think I just wanted a little bit, like a period at the end of like his sentence, sort of. Like, this is where he is and he's there now. Because even when he was making decisions, he still has a look of like traumatization to him. And so I wanted them to address his trauma a little bit and have him work through it a little bit more. But I do realize that he has been doing it for a while. So maybe that's why it wasn't as poignant. Are there any other characters? Did any other characters really get wrapped up? I don't think, because we didn't see the two dads. We saw the guy in the sewer, which I thought was interesting.
Oh,
of all the people to kind of look at, we didn't look at Simone, but we looked at the guy in the sewer.
Yeah,
which is funny.
Maybe they just had him on contract to show up this season, and so they need to stick him in.
Yeah, just stick him in there somewhere. But I guess it's a cool place to go. So, like, if they're traveling around, like, why not?
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I thought that was interesting. So, the big question that I think we're also going to answer a bit in our, like, next wrap up sort of episode, but what did you all think of the series as a whole? Let's start with Kyle, because you're a super fan, and then we'll go to Kyle.
I loved it. I think as a series, it's a really fun, ridiculous, over the top show that, like, in a time where like TV dramas were like really big on like being very serious and R, and like I feel like this may not be 100% correct because I'm suck at remembering things, but like I feel like this came out at the same time like Heroes did, kind of. Like, Heroes and Pushing Daisies were on at the same time. And so, like, it was a really nice comparison, at least for me. I think I was watching both at the time. It was a really nice comparison to have something really fun and silly and ridiculous and colorful next to a bunch of shows that were kind of, like, darker and, like, not so fun. So I really enjoyed it, and I think it's a fun little mystery place, and I love just how they make all these social comments without really making them, just because by having these characters wear high heels all the time, and just by, like, having, like, all this color be so unrealistic and having the death be unrealistic, but, like, also kind of fun. Like, it was just great. It was a great show that was a lot deeper than you'd think by looking at, like, a trailer. So I liked it a lot.
Colleen?
Yeah, I co-sign everything you just said. I love, for the same reason that I always love to watch, like, crime dramas and stuff like that, really dramatic, like, murdery type things, I don't know. And this, getting into this, it looked like just this sort of escape from that, that, like, you know, a beautiful show, all the beautiful images, scenery, costumes, and it looked funny, and there was singing, and, you know, it seems like such a lighthearted thing, but then when you actually watch it and get into it, you realize it's, you know, it's a lot deeper than you expect, and they're dealing with things and touching on things that you wouldn't expect from a show like that, and I just felt like it was so different from anything else I had seen before or really since, and I loved it. I loved watching it again, and I'm still so sad that it didn't get the time it deserved to really, it didn't get the chance to really be what it could have. It was,
yes,
screwed over by the writer's strike and the timing, and then it just never got its footing after that, and it, I would love for there to be some sort of musical or any kind of sequel, how they, like, plan to do comic books, anything that would sort of give us more of a resolution. I would love that.
Okay. Quick question for the super fans before we jump to Ariana. Were you, because I know that quite a few of our listeners are kind of disappointed in the way that some of us weren't as crazy about the show. Did that change your perspective on the show a little bit by hearing less positive things, or were you annoyed with some of us who didn't love it as much as you?
I was really surprised. Like,
me too.
Never expected some of the reactions that you guys have had. I just, it, a lot of the stuff, like, I guess, you know, because you, in discussing the things that you had issues with and why they bothered you, like, I get it, and I understand that, but it never bothered me, and I was so, it was really surprising, like, each episode that either I was on or I listened to, I was like, wow, like, these people are reacting totally different to this show. Like, I just ate it all up and didn't really have any of those problems and or didn't, like, see them in the same way that you guys did. So it was really surprising to me. I don't know that I was really annoyed. I was just, like, sort of taken aback by it.
Yeah, I was very shocked. I was like, whoa, oh, okay. I feel like we need to talk about some things.
Yeah, we did. I've had, yeah, a few episodes with you, and you were like, hey, let me break this down for you.
Yeah, exactly. Just, because the reception behind Pushing Daisies is so overwhelmingly positive, and there's a reason that it, like, got nominated and won so many freaking Emmys. Because it was so good on so many different levels, and it wasn't just like a childhood silly, like, fun show. And so when you guys brought up the concerns that you did, like, having to deal with, like, Chuck wearing high heels all the time, or seeing the ridiculous amount of, like, cleavage, or, like, stuff like that. Like, I feel like it was really shocking to me, and I guess it wasn't as overwhelmingly clear to you guys, perhaps, as it was to, like, maybe who'd seen it when it was airing, that this was just, like, a mockery, and it wasn't,
okay,
like, oh.
Okay,
like,
though, I have to stop you, because I feel like that's what everybody keeps saying, and I feel like it's a little bit patronizing. Like, all of the people in the comments are saying, like, you just don't get it. You don't understand that this is supposed to be, like, it's supposed to be a joke. It's supposed to be mocking this. And, like, I do understand that. I just don't think that they're as funny as they think they are. In the way that they do it. Like, well, I don't want to... Well, I already interrupted you. I'm sorry.
It's but, fine.
Like...
How do you feel?
Yeah.
I was going to be really positive, but...
I didn't mean to patronize you. I apologize.
No, I'm not specifically talking about you. But... okay, like, I feel like the first season, I do understand that it was very critically acclaimed. And I can see why. It is very aesthetically beautiful. But I do feel like the first season, they relied too much on aesthetics, and they did not build up their characters or even their plot lines or stories. And it just felt so empty to me. And I think starting with the episode where Olive leaves the nunnery, that really changed. And I think they did put the focus on the characters, and they made it interesting. And by the end, I really cared, and I'm really sad. And I wish that there was a third season so I could keep watching. But I think that they did make changes. And I think that even the way they dress, like in this last episode, the girls, they still dress adorably. They still look cute. They just don't look ridiculous anymore. They look like not normal people, but they look like normal within this world. Like, Chuck isn't wearing a ball gown to the circus anymore.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes. I totally understand.
If I could just add, it was sort of sad, because coming into this, I was like, yo, so excited for all of you newbies, like, see this show that I love, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna love it, it's gonna be great. And then to each week hear, like, that you didn't, it was, like, sort of sad.
I can imagine, because I know that my biggest fear when introducing people to shows that I love is that they're not gonna like it.
Yeah.
And that I may have built it up too much. For me, I was really excited for Pushing Daisies. It's been on my list for a while because I know that everybody who, or at that point, everybody who had seen it, like, loves it. And I think I may have had some expectations that weren't met, and so that was part of the reason why I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would. And I agree with Ariana, it's beautiful to look at, but at some point, like, that couldn't keep enough of my attention anymore. And so I do wish they did do more character development and overarching storylines, I think would have helped them out a lot, because when they started to do that towards the second half of this second season, it was great. And I started really enjoying it and really getting into the mystery behind these characters that we've been seeing for a while. I think if I had seen this show possibly when it was airing, I may have had a different opinion about it just because of all of the shows and media I've kind of absorbed afterward. I think I might have been in a slightly different place, and I might have liked it more before, I guess, before I have these crazy high expectations. But I do not in the slightest regret watching this. I did enjoy it. I did enjoy talking to a wide array of people with a wide array of feelings on it, from love to not as much love. But I did think it was cute, and I did like the second half of this second season. And if it was more like that, I would have been more excited about the show, and people probably wouldn't have been as mad at me. For things that I say on the show.
I think it's okay to have different opinions. Not everybody has the same taste, and that's what makes The world's such a wonderful place that we can all be different and special.
And I feel like it was a good thing that we had people that actually, like, that we had people that had opinions different from, like, the general consensus of the population of fans. Because
it made for a more interesting conversation.
Exactly. And it helped represent the other fans and listeners and people who felt the same way. Because we know, like, you guys can't be the only ones who think the things you do. And so it's actually kind of nice that other people are getting represented on the podcast and having their voices kind of heard when you guys mm-hmm. say that you dislike it. So I think it was good. I think I feel like sometimes people listen to Rewatchable and they kind of like expect everyone to be like, oh my God, yes. And it's not. Yeah, and that's not what it is. It's rewatchable because, like, yeah, we're here to rewatch it and love it. It's like, yay, we love this. But it's also to introduce it to new people and to be like, so, like, what do you think? And then when the new people bring up something that you've never thought about as, like, just someone who's watched it before, having done two rewatchables, I feel like it's so much more of a fun conversation. Like, when I did Firefly and I bring up something and then, like, Laura or like Selena never would have really thought about that. Like, it made for a really good episode. So I love your opinions and I value you guys.
Oh, aww. Thank you, Kyle. At least you do.
I value everyone. All right. So I'm sure we'll talk about these things a little bit more than we, I guess, already have in our next sort of wrap-up episode. So for now, let's move into our favorite scenes and favorite lines for this episode, for this final episode. So Kyle, would you like to start us off with your favorite scene?
Yes, the end scene, like the final, like, I'm alive, and like, just like the whole, I have a thing for endings, like Deathly Hallows Part 2 is my favorite, and movie-wise, and Deathly Hallows is my favorite book, and like, just like, if you bring up the ending to any series, I'd probably like it more than like the rest of the series. And I just love, and I guess it's not necessarily I love that specific scene when Chuck shows up, because it's like what you've been waiting for, and it's like, oh my goodness, but like, just the ending in general, I guess, which is cheating, I guess, but. Yeah, because you finally get what you've been craving for, but you're cut off, so you still want more. So that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, I thought it was a relatively good balance there. My favorite scene was the slow-mo walk into the aquacade with, like, our four sleuths, with Ned just looking like a bamf. Like, he's walking in, he looks kind of like a spy or something. I don't know. He looks really...
Those sunglasses are the best.
Yes. He, you know what it is? He looks confident. Mm-hmm. Like, this
it
is
was
one
so
of the
bizarre.
Only things that I've seen him look confident. And he confidence
looks, he looks
great
pretty
on him.
Sexy.
Yeah. So, I really...
That was, like, the first time where I really got the Ned appeal. I was like, oh, yeah, Ned. Work it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they flipped that in the end, for you.
Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when the lady got eaten by the shark. I don't know why. I, like, laughed so hard. I was, like, laughing out loud like a crazy person. I just thought it was so funny and absurd, and I was like, of course, this is the finale. Why wouldn't a shark just come out of nowhere in a pool and eat somebody? Like, your worst nightmare.
And Colleen, what was your favorite scene?
I just loved when Lily and Vivian reunited as the Darling Mermaid Darlings and came into the pie hole and were all synchronized and doing their little arm movements with their practicing. I thought it was so cute, in part because it was really funny, but also it was so good to see them together and happy and excited about, you know, being the Darlings again.
Yes, it was super cute. Super, super cute. All right, so favorite lines. Kyle, do you have yours memorized? Or did you not pick one?
Well, okay, no, I had a favorite line, but it's the same as Colleen's favorite line. And I don't want to steal it, so I will wait for Colleen's turn. I'm just going to note right now that Colleen's line is also my favorite line.
Okay. So then my favorite line comes from Emerson. And I feel like it came when they were spelling stuff out or something. And he just goes, "She got a case of the dumb ASS." It was very Emerson, and it made me chuckle. So, Ariana, your favorite line, please.
My favorite line was not because it was, like, funny or anything. I just really love the delivery. It's when they're talking about what to do for Chuck's half birthday, and then Ned's like, "Yay, I'll get 6 tickets." And then everybody's 6, so he's like, "I'll get 4 tickets." And Olive just goes, "Double date, double date." And I just thought it was so cute.
Super cute. And Colleen, your favorite line and Kyle's favorite line.
Yes. So right after the woman is eaten by the shark, Vivian's writing a sympathy letter, and Lily goes, "Don't sign my name to that sorry a shark ate your bitch of a sister letter."
It was so great, because even though she died, she's like, "No."
She stands by her convictions, just like Chuck. That was funny. The lady died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and she's yelling at her. It's good. Oh. All right, so we have, like, 2 pieces of feedback. They're both related, and they're both unrelated to Pushing Daisies. So, Ariana, would you like to answer this first question from Pipeable?
Yes, I think we've answered it before, but Carla says, "What are you guys rewatching next?" And I think that Karen tweeted it out earlier this week, but I think this is the first time we're saying it on air. Correct? Did you guys talk about it, Daniel?
I don't remember, possibly, but good time. Yeah, it's great.
Well, next up, we're going to be rewatching Avatar, The Last Airbender, which, if you guys will remember, was a Nickelodeon cartoon back in the day. And, it has to do with Legend of Korra, if I'm not mistaken. No, correct? It's like the prequel? I don't know. I'm a newbie. No. Again.
Wrong crowd.
All right, and then Colleen, would you like to read that tweet in response to what we're rewatching next?
Sure. Felkeith James on Twitter said, in response to us doing Avatar, "God, so excited. Love Avatar so. Can't wait to rejoin the rewatchable family."
And we can't wait to have you back. Yay! Big family.
Y'all need to finish Avatar quick, because I need to get over that, and then, like, we can do the next rewatchable.
So Kyle and I can jump back in.
And
yes,
me.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Colleen.
And Colleen. I'm going to miss you guys so much.
Miss you.
Aww.
You guys were so great.
It's fun. You'll have fun if everyone else is doing it.
And then we'll be jealous.
Don't forget
you guys are going to be like,
don't tell them, but you guys are my favorites.
Yeah,
oh.
That'll be our little secret.
I'll tell everybody. All right, so
we're editing this, Mitch.
No, we're gonna leave it all in here. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable, and you can comment on this post on hypeable.com. We're always looking at those comments, people, so please give us something to talk about. And if you like us enough, if you would leave us a review on iTunes, that would be great, because then a whole bunch of other people can find us and rewatch everything that we've rewatched previously, and they can jump on board for Avatar, and we can have just like a growing family of TV lovers. That's what I'm going to call them. I know this is last minute, but Ariana, do you have any sort of incentive for these people to leave us a review on iTunes? Because you are the best at this, and we haven't done it in a while.
If you leave us a review, we will write the 3rd season of Pushing Daisies for you.
Ah.
We'll send it to you.
That is a pretty good incentive.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'll leave a review for that.
Well, then we better get to work. All right, so stay tuned for our big Pushing Daisies rewatchable wrap-up sort of episode that's coming next whenever we can kind of get our stuff together. But until then, I'm Danielle.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Colleen.
And we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.